Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. Call, text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Busy, busy show coming up today. Got a couple breaking news things we wanted to talk about. First of all, today is voting in Wisconsin's April primary. Today is your last day to register online. So if you want to vote next month, April 2nd, and you should, yes. Today is your last day to register online to do that. We talk about this all the time. MyVote.wi.gov. MyVote.wi.gov will give you all the information that you need if you have not registered online yet and you're not registered to vote. We really need everyone to head out to the polls in November. Yep. In massive, massive numbers.
And even if you just want to say, hey, who's my county supervisor? MyVoteWI.gov is the place to go.
Yep, absolutely. Also, breaking news about TikTok this morning. They have, the House anyway, has decided that they don't like TikTok and TikTok's going to have to sell. It's Chinese. Get out of the Chinese ownership.
Yes, the Chinese ownership has to give up their shares.
In TikTok. And this measure now moves on to the Senate. Been interesting seeing. I'm a boomer, you guys. It's not my fault.
I mean,
just not me personally.
And also, don't go blaming the GOP either, because this is enjoying support from both sides, including the president.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This is one where we can all come together. You like that TikTok dance? You like that person on TikTok who gives you your news? Do something about it. Call your senators now.
It will be interesting to see what happens with this going forward. It is a highly, highly popular, obviously, application, and a lot of younger people, use that as their source of news, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on it.
Calvin, resident young person, Calvin, are you on TikTok a lot? Well, we know that you do talk.
More than I'm proud to admit.
Calvin, did you ever get the one TikTok that TikTok makes that says, after a certain time, it says, hey, you've been on this for a while. Why don't you take a walk, get some water, come back in a little while?
Yeah, it's like, hey, you've been scrolling a while.
And how long can you scroll before it finally kicks in?
Oh, I don't know. Hours? Maybe not quite.
Several hours. It might
be an hour.
I think it's an hour. My record is 3. I got 3 of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a bottomless pit.
It's a bottomless pit, and the lockdown was hard, okay?
I suppose a lot of people spend time there. I don't know. I just, because they're all really short, right?
No, they're anywhere from, they can be 5 seconds to, now they can be up to like 5 minutes. They can be longer than, yeah.
Because I thought everything was like 60 seconds. I thought everything was a minute.
Mm-mm. In the early days, yeah.
Yeah, but it just, the thing is, it just goes on forever. Like, sure, they're short, but you just get another one and another one and another one.
Is it all silly, fun things?
Oh, no.
No, it's, lately it's been clips from sitcoms. I've been getting a lot of clips of, like, The Big Bang Theory and, like, Mom, like, just weird sitcom clips.
So Chuck Lorre, you're in a Chuck Lorre
loop.
Apparently. Your algorithm is about like, this guy really needs to watch 2 and a Half Men. So let's give him some 2 and a Half Men.
That's another one.
Yeah.
That's
been, you're in a Chuck Lorre. You are on the Chuck Lorre side of TikTok.
Apparently. I want off it, but apparently I watch the clips too much. So
something we all need to quit, right?
I'm more addicted to Instagram Reels. It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. Only TikTok people will judge you. They'll be like, oh, it's not the same. It's like, we're all rotting our brains with the same social media, so let's just come together on that at least.
And agree on that?
Yeah.
I'm curious if you use, I don't TikTok very often. I will go on every once in a while, but I'm still addicted to the platform that Elon has ruined, because that's where news still breaks.
News breaks on TikTok too. And a lot of credible news, like anchors will go on there and give news. There's a lot of people who don't get into the world of actual like paid journalism because it's cutthroat to be on TV. So they make their own news. Like they make their own place to give the news. And it's very well researched. It's very well respected. They are cited by other news sources. You know who's...
It was a TikTok caster who busted the Alabama senator.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, he was the one who pointed out all the bull.
Do you know who's great on TikTok?
Who is that?
Pat Kreitlow.
Really?
He makes really good TikToks.
Pat Kreitlow, our colleague from Up North News.
The
Up
very same. The very same.
I will have to check out Pat Kreitlow on TikTok. Karina from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Karina. Thank you for joining us. Are you a big TikToker?
No, I don't do TikTok, but listen, remember when the Ukrainian war started and the Putin started taking off the media of access to Russia and American news was saying, oh, it's a terrorism, it's a tyranny. The people in Russia do not have a freedom to listen what they want and look what they want. This is, horrible. And now you're doing it?
That's interesting, right? So there was a lot of outcry when Russia banned TikTok, and now we're doing it here, and it's like, well, it's fine for us.
Well, I think that, this is not a defense of it, because I do not think TikTok should be banned, personally, and I think that I said this to you earlier, and I'll lay this out. TikTok is one of how many apps on the App Store? Of those apps, how many are either solely or partially owned by Chinese companies? The big concern is data privacy for them.
Right.
Hacking into our systems.
Stealing our stuff.
Much like, I see Karina's point. I think it's a little bit different, just as much as, that was more propaganda. This is more being like, we need to protect our data. Okay, well, what's next then? Is it the next app and the app after that? Maybe it's a TV that's made by a certain company. We're not going to sell. Where does it end? You're forcing companies to sell off their shares. That's also not freedom, and that's not the fair market. Like, make me understand why this is important that TikTok is the main target.
Specifically and not something else.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Karina. Really appreciate you listening, as always. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Tom from Los Angeles. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. First off, we the people ultimately are the government and not the corporations, and we must realize this. This is corporate power gone amok. We only have two, basically, internet companies that are out there. We basically have so many monopolies. We have unregulated capitalism. This is what trickle-down economics has brought us. And the thing is, we have got to wake up and do something right now. I mean, right now, Joe Biden is the only guardrail to any of this stuff. The Republicans in power are not your friends. I know that this was a bipartisan issue, which I always say bipartisan means that both parties have been bought off by the same donors. But we need to get back to FDR, and we need to do it quickly because of the fact that Social Security is going to be gone. The corporations can basically get rid of you for any reason at all. And that's why I think people say that they're not better off right now than they have been in the past. It's because of the fact that, again, corporations have way, way too much power. I am a TikTok user. I love TikTok. And the one thing I love about it is that I have it segmented in terms of, X or Twitter as politics. TikTok has just kind of been just kind of a fun escape. The most dangerous one out of all of them, in my opinion, is Facebook, because Facebook is basically like classmates, where you know everything about a person and what they're doing in their personal life, and they talk about it and they go on and on about it. To me, that's the most dangerous out of all of the social medias that are out there, but it's because corporations have too much power. They've been bought off. They've been bought. The politicians have been bought off by the corporations through Citizens United, and everyone just really needs to do some research. Look at Jude Waninsky back in Reagan's era.
Tom, sorry to interrupt you, Tom, but I think it's really interesting what you brought up about Facebook. And I quit Facebook in 2019. When word came out that Facebook was selling our data to Cambridge Analytica, which was then distributing it to Republicans on how to target voters. Mm. And so, and you're right. What's interesting about Facebook is everyone offers up all of this information voluntarily.
Well, I mean, and I'm not disagreeing.
Thanks a lot for calling, Tom. Thank you, as always, for listening.
I don't disagree with that, but we offer up our information voluntarily to so many things. Facebook, owned by the same company, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. We offer it up to rewards programs we sign up for online, Amazon. I mean, you have to make profiles nowadays for everything, and they're going to find you.
And yeah, but you can limit that somewhat.
Somewhat, but who does? Who has the time? Who has the knowledge to go in deep? How many, like, think about how many profiles you probably have in the world for various programs, email.
Granted, but they don't know the name of my dogs. They don't know the name of my pet that I grew up
with. How do you know
with.
That?
Well, I don't put that in my profile.
But they can find that out by digging into your data. That's how they do it. They data mine you. And that's not just Facebook. That's everybody. Google. Google's really bad at it, too. Google's been sued over it. So, and this isn't me sticking up for the big corporations. It's just, I feel like, when we talk about giving our information away, we've been doing it for so long.
This is nothing new.
To try to undo it, I can't even imagine how you would even begin to undo it. I would love, if I could pay someone, if I had unlimited funds, I'd say, hey, you security, remove me from the internet.
Yeah.
Every single picture, every profile, and I'm going to go live in the woods.
Make me disappear.
Exactly.
All right. Well, when we return, how long did it take for you to die after you retired? I'm really curious. Maybe you can't personally call yourself someone who knew you when you retired and then you died. So how long after retirement does death follow? There's a very specific reason why I'm asking this. And then coming up at 10:30, we're going to do the good, the bad, and you got to be kidding me. Please.
I'm not.
Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very, very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Sweet Cal B on the board. Shout out to Wisconsin Rapids. If you're joining us this morning, listening on WFHR, thank you so very much. You can always call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. There's been a lot of discussion, of course, about Social Security and Medicare. Donald Trump, in an interview, pretty much said that there's lots of tremendous amounts of things and numbers of things that you can do when it comes to cutting Social Security. Now, if you don't know who Ben Shapiro is, Ben Shapiro is a podcaster who's a hero of some on the right.
If you don't know Ben Shapiro,
consider yourself lucky.
So lucky.
I always heard that he was a failed actor and then got very bitter about being rejected by Hollywood. So he decided to become a pundit. And he was punditing the other day about Social Security. And for people who are my age or a little bit older, I would love to get your reaction from this bit of wisdom from Ben Shapiro.
Prepare your ears for a voice.
Yeah, it's quite a voice. Take a listen.
No one in the United States should be retiring at 65 years old. Frankly, I think retirement itself is a stupid idea unless you have some sort of health problem. Everybody that I know who is elderly, who has retired, is dead within 5 years. And if you talk to people who are elderly and they lose their purpose in life by losing their job and they stop working, things go to hell in a handbasket real quick.
First of all, how much cocaine is he on?
There's two things.
Holy cow.
Folks, you know how when you listen to an audiobook or a podcast, you can increase the speed a little bit so you can maybe listen a little faster. That's how Ben Shapiro talks all the time.
It's exhausting.
It's very exhausting. And also, like, he just, it's stupid. You lose an argument, in my opinion, when you are an adult talking about this topic and referring to someone as stupid. Might as well call them stupid heads. It's stupid.
And he would if he could.
Oh,
I'm sure.
God.
Are you retired?
Are you dead?
And are you dead? How long after retirement did you drop dead? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Now, I do recognize the fact that for some people who retire, if they do not have a purpose and they start getting isolated and things like that, that's not necessarily a good thing. But the fact that we should all just keep working until we drop dead because it's so rewarding is amazing to me.
Part of the retirement thing was part of the American dream too. You've put your time in.
Yes.
You retired, you've saved up, buy that RV, buy that cabin, go traveling, spend time with your grandkids. That was all part of the architecture of the American dream in the latter half of the 20th century.
Golden years, yes. People. The golden years. There is a hilarious piece on this by Rex Hupke in USA Today. Whether it's conservative pundits saying retirement is a stupid idea or GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump talking about cutting Medicare and Social Security, one thing is clear. Republicans rightly recognize that all us Americans would be better off if we just worked until we're dead. The whole piece is priceless. We'll put it in our show notes after the show is over and we get the podcast up. But 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. How long do you expect to live after you retire? Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Oh, just peachy keen, as my granny used to say.
Are you working yourself to death, Jack?
You're retired, Jack, aren't you?
I've been retired for a decade, and I didn't retire until I was 70, so that gives you an idea how old I am. My wife and I have this pact. We're aiming for 100 each.
Nice.
We'll see how well that works out.
Nice.
But the bottom line is we have done a lot of traveling. We're both rock climbers, and at 80, I'm still climbing. I let my son do the hard stuff these days, but retirement has been pretty good to us, we are both very, very lucky. I retired as a teacher, so I have a fairly good pension.
Right.
And I also happened to jump into the market at exactly the right time. So I not only have that, I have a pretty good 403B. And probably could get by without Social Security. The only thing is that, like you and everybody else I know that's a working person, I've been paying into Social Security since I had my first paying job at age 16.
Yep.
And I would be really ticked off if somebody reduced that, took it away. It's not reasonable. You put your money. I put my money into a 403B, and it's really ballooned quite nicely. Social Security hasn't increased that much. It has had a few small cost of living increases.
Yep.
But the bottom line is, I expect to be around for a little while yet. I still get out, and my wife and I bike maybe 10, 15 miles at a pop.
You're so healthy.
I keep working at it. That's the thing. If you're lucky enough to not have any injuries that keep you from doing this, you can continue to work on your cardio fitness for a very long time. If I'm still climbing 8 on a 10-point difficulty scale on rock climbing, although the difficulty is higher these days, but when I started, it was a 10-point scale. I'm doing pretty good at 80.
Absolutely.
Why did we take this call? I just feel so terrible.
Jack's
now.
Just calling in to make us all feel badly about ourselves. No, that's wonderful, Jack. Really, that's fantastic. And this just goes to speak to this ridiculousness from Josh Shapiro that
Ben Shapiro
that if you retire, you're going to drop dead in 5 years because life isn't worth living.
Well, an example too, for like my mom has been, I just texted her. I wanted to know, she's been retired for 10 years now. And that first, she said the first 2 weeks felt like a vacation. The next 2 weeks felt weird. And then after that, she didn't have anything lined up and she started to get really depressed and really lonely.
Yeah.
And so what did she do? She didn't do what Ben Shapiro said and shrivel up and die. She got a part-time job. She got friends. She travels. She does the thing because she's earned it. And I'm telling you this much, I've been paying in since I was 12. If I don't get my money, I'm suing someone.
Thank you, Jack, for calling. Always, always appreciate it. If you want to chime in on this, 855-75-CIVIC. And this goes back to the whole, at least how the Republicans use the term entitlement.
Yeah.
Like we didn't do anything for it.
Yeah.
But yet we believe we deserve it. We all have been paying into this since we started working. Don't tell me I feel like I'm entitled to something that I didn't earn. That makes me furious.
Same with unemployment too.
Absolutely.
People feel really bad when they take unemployment. No, you paid into, that's your money. You are owed it if you're in a place where you need it. And it's Social Security, on unemployment, not an entitlement. Ben Shapiro, just take your really fast voice and walk away.
All right. News is on the way next. And then when we return, the good, the bad, and you've got to be kidding me. This is Matt Nair on air coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin B. coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Always join the show if you like. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Did want to remind everybody, our Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, we have a new feature put together by our news department. It's really pretty cool. Again, we have stations all across the state. We have 20 stations all across Wisconsin. So if you go to civicmedia.us and you click on stations, so that will take you to your station in Amory or Hayward or Eau Claire or wherever. And then there's a rectangular bar at the top of the page that says daily news content.
Yeah.
And it changes every day. And this is news that is specific to your community. So if you like to be in the loop and get a little update, again, our news department doing a great job, just go to civicmedia.us, go to stations, click on your station in your area, and then look for that little bar that says Civic Media Daily News Update. It's pretty cool.
It's very, very cool. Yeah. There's all sorts of way to get Civic Media in your life, whether it's the news update. You can also sign up for a best of sent to your mailbox every Monday of the best clips from shows. Can go on the app, which is free, and listen to anywhere around the state, hear what's going on around the state, and you can download these shows as podcasts. I mean, it's really, really simple.
It is pretty simple.
To keep Civic Media in your pocket. Yeah, see what I said there?
Woo-hoo! Nice ad there, Greg Bach.
Thank you.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the you've got to be kidding me. Starting off with the good, President Biden stopping in Milwaukee today. He will be appearing at the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Milwaukee to talk about more than $36 million in funding to help communities in the 6th Street corridor impacted by the 9443 construction in the 1960s. This is part of a more than $3 billion effort through a program called Reconnecting Communities and Neighborhoods Federal Grant Program. The money is going to be spent to help communities by transportation infrastructure projects that have been impacted primarily for low-income people and communities of color.
That's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful.
So they want to make it safer. They want to make it more bike-friendly. They want to make it more pedestrian-friendly. So President Biden will be stopping in Milwaukee today, and I believe his appearance at the Boys and Girls Club is going to be around to 4 o'clock today.
That's going to be cool.
That is the good news.
But also know that for when you're driving through Milwaukee. Oh, that's something to keep in mind when you're in Milwaukee and the president's in town. Leave 20 to 25 minutes earlier.
It's gonna slow you down.
Yep.
It's going to snag you up. So here's your little heads up, right, Greg Bach?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna want to just, if you're stopped somewhere and you're wondering, I don't see anything. What's the problem? That's the problem.
Pull out your phone, turn on your Civic Media app, and listen to some radio.
There's an idea.
Good way to spend your time.
Another good news item today, Greg Bach, and you're the one who found this.
Yeah.
A bill granting a tax exemption for coins and precious metals now goes onto the Senate floor. What is this?
I said it's good. You know, instead of using the surplus for things or...
Legislation will give a sales tax exemption to the sale of coins and precious metal bullion after getting bipartisan support in the Budget Committee on Monday. Supporters say that coins and precious metals are investments and therefore should not be subject to sales taxes under Wisconsin law.
Just putting that in there. It wasn't so much good. When I said good, it was like a shruggy emoji. Good?
Well, see, and all I could think of was Senator Bob Menendez, the Democrat from New York, who was found with all those gold bullion bars in his house. This is good for him.
I think you have a crush on him, honestly. Well, you can't. He's from New Jersey. I don't know what I don't know what they do with their gold in New Jersey. They turn it into necklaces and stuff like that. I've watched too much Sopranos.
Republican Senator Dewey Strabel, testifying at a Senate hearing in January, said charging a sales tax on a form of money is fundamentally unfair and has the effect of treating precious metal bullion as though it is merely a commodity.
Don't we charge tax on all forms of money? When you buy something, I give you money and you start charge me tax on that? My point with this is, like, it was more of a good funny because there are things to protect, like the voting process in Wisconsin. We could use some of that. We could use some time to pass bills for spending the surplus on childcare, education, and things like that. But no, folks, your precious metals and or coins.
Your bullion.
Your bullions, not just your soup cubes. Your chicken bullion and your gold bullion. Safe.
Again, this is bipartisan. Democratic Senator Mark Spreitzer says constituents who trade in coins and bullion have contacted me on and over the years in support of this, adding that a relative has over the years given coins to grandkids on special occasions.
Oh, yeah.
People buy precious metals, bullions, and coins not as a good way that we normally think of goods that we charge a sales tax for. They buy them as investments. And generally, we don't charge sales tax on investments.
I'm going to put dollars to donuts that people have called that same exact elected official saying, hey, make better schools.
And they didn't do anything?
Nope.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
The good.
Snarky, Greg.
The good, the bad, and you've got to be kidding me here on Matt Nair on air. Moving over to the bad, and we pretty much knew this was going to happen. I'm still very disappointed.
Yeah.
Republican-led Senate adjourned for the year without approving a bipartisan measure. A bipartisan measure.
Yep.
That would have allowed election clerks to start processing absentee ballots the day before Election Day.
Yep.
So again, this is going to leave open these wild allegations of fraud and ballot dumping and, cheating, and which didn't happen, just as a reminder. There were 60 court cases around the country that did not find any evidence of voter fraud in the 2020 election.
The Popcorn King himself is on record many times saying the 2020 election was safe, fair, and secure.
In 2020, just after he lost, Donald Trump claimed late-night ballot dumps in Milwaukee were to blame for the loss, implying illegal votes were cast.
Late-night ballot dumps did happen because they were being dumped by the people who were counting them.
Election workers.
Yep, it was, I mean, he's almost there. You know how your friend is almost at the point, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're there. Come here. Come on. You're close. Here's the line.
You can make it.
And then, like, of illegal voting, you're like, oh, man. Bleh.
It's just a shame that they couldn't get this done only because... And this is my prediction. If Donald Trump loses against Joe Biden, and now both of them have locked up enough of electoral votes so that they are the presumptive nominees was always going to be this way, at least I think.
Yeah.
But he's already setting the stage for if he loses, it was cheating. It was rigged. He's done this for decades. He did this when he lost the Iowa primary to Ted Cruz. It was rigged. I was cheated. This just feeds that false narrative, unfortunately, and there are a lot of people who are going to buy into it.
I think the only bright spot out of all of this is that because we've been through it, we might know how to handle it with regard to, like, you know, the processes of the elections happening the way they are. They're going to be probably just as safe, if not safer, than they were the last time. And in 2025, if Donald Trump loses, maybe we can all just turn our backs a little bit more and say, that's fine. Just go ahead. Shout to the wind. We've got things to do. You've been doing this for 4 years, if not longer. Just, I got bills to pay. I can't listen to this.
I think more and more Americans are coming along with that and coming into that realization.
Yeah.
Again, the hardcore MAGA supporters will support anything he says.
Absolutely.
He could say the sky is green and they'd go, yes, it is green. So, but there just has been no evidence. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but there's not. And in the few instances of actual voter fraud that did happen, I have bad news for you, Republican voters in the villages in Florida, because that's where it happened.
Yeah. I think that, I think it's unfortunate that bill that came through the assembly that was, as we said, had bipartisan support. That was,
it should have been a no brainer.
That was that Robin Voss spirit. I mean, he wanted this to happen, or at least may have seemed like he wanted it to happen. I don't know. I want to believe that he wanted to take care of it to save his own tuchus, maybe from allegations. But then goes to the Senate and nothing's going to happen. And I believe this is the bill that Dewey Strobel said he wasn't going to give. If I'm mistaken, I apologize. But also Devin Lemieux refused to take it up and said something to the effect of, that's not my job to push these bills through. It's exactly
that
your
is,
job.
That is his only job.
You have power, you have access, and you can do exactly what you want. You could have brought up any bill you wanted.
Yes.
It shows that you didn't want this and that you wanted to create more trouble than it was worth. And now, like, and that's the thing too, is like with Wisconsin GOP making their claim that we got to bank our votes.
Oh yeah, all of a sudden.
Got to bank our votes. Maybe we got to save those votes up.
No.
Bank them. Like, what's going on?
Well, they have some real cross-purpose messaging going on.
Oh,
there.
Do they ever?
Because they were so good at indoctrinating their supporters into mail-in voting is evil and absentee ballots are evil and that's all evil.
And 6 months later.
And now they're trying to say, no, it's good. It's fine. Yeah. It's good. Anyway, under current law, Wisconsin election workers can't count absentee ballots until election day. In Milwaukee, that means processing at times more than 100,000 ballots while also administering the polls.
Yep.
So if you want to be a poll worker, please do.
I mean, the only
Please do. The
only option they have now is to hire more counters, and will they have the funding to do that? And will people want to do that? I mean, in 2020, those buildings were being attacked.
Yes, where they were counting ballots.
Yeah, who wants that job? I don't want some crazy people in red hats pounding on the windows of the place I'm working at.
Yeah, howling at you.
Yeah.
We're doing the good, the bad, and you've got to be kidding me. Also falling under good, or bad rather, I'm sorry. Oops, little Freudian slip there.
Whoopsie doodles.
Republican of Colorado, Representative Ken Buck, announced yesterday he is leaving Congress after early. He's stepping down next week.
Yeah, you know, he's got things to do. He's got a
bye-bye.
He's got a hair appointment.
Buck said, today I am announcing I will depart Congress at the end of next week. I look forward to staying involved in our political process as well as spending more time in Colorado and with my family.
Yeah.
He said, the House has become dysfunctional and has only devolved into bickering and nonsense and not really doing the job for the American people. Yes, Ken. It's the whoop whoop boing caucus.
Yeah. You don't get to act like it's surprising all of a sudden either. This has been happening for a long time.
This has been in the making for a long time.
You're either a liar or you're an idiot. And you can be both, saying it's dysfunctional now.
Buck says, it's the worst year of the 9 years and 3 months that I've been in Congress. And having talked to former members, it is the worst year in 40 to 50 years to be in Congress. But with these seemingly not MAGA Republicans, if they all leave, doesn't that just open the door for them to be replaced by all MAGAs?
Well, yeah, and that's my problem is, you know, I can't do this. So you're quitting. You're right. Not trying to make
you're
it
not
better.
Gonna, you're not going
to
stay in there and fight the good fight.
Because the thing is they could stay there and try to fight the good fight with all they have, but then they're going to lose something, whether it's an election, their credibility, status, anything. But instead, it's better to just walk away with whatever dignity you have.
And make
say,
your book deal.
And make your book deal. Become a pundit and say, oh, I can't. There's nothing I can do. You are a United States congressman. You're telling me there's nothing you can do? Shame on you.
Jack from Racine is on the line. Real quickly, Jack, we just got about a minute and a half. What did you want to say? Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you. Just want to think maybe something for a future program and dealing with the upcoming April 2nd elections. There are the two referenda that are on it. I know you have, you may have talked about it, I missed it, but there are two referenda which are they're constitutional amendments.
Yes.
And they're forever. And legal women voters, for instance, rates them as vote says vote no for various reasons. So I think it'd be a longer conversation, but I just wanted to throw that out as something to talk about sometime.
Oh, you're so right, Jack. Thank you so much for the reminder. That's something that's been on our list for a while. You're absolutely right. These two constitutional mm-hmm. amendments could change a lot yeah. of things. So we will get on that, and hopefully in the next certainly next week, I hope.
Yeah.
All right. When we return, the good, the bad, and you've got to be kidding me. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Greg Bach, the surgeon of sound, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show, call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, the platform Elon has ruined, or send an email to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. We are doing the good, the bad, and today it's, you got to be kidding me, but a little housekeeping before we move on to that, Greg Bach.
Okay, a couple of things before people reaching out, leaving some comments on the live stream. One I wanted to actually get to specifically was a question from Tony watching on Facebook, and it was for the year they don't run a calendar year, and I believe what you're talking about is the Madison or the Wisconsin legislature. No, they do not. They run, they're kind of like Congress in the sense where they do take long breaks, but this year they are breaking now and they are done for the rest of the year.
They won't be back till January.
And I want to make something clear that I saw something on Facebook, or I'm sorry, I saw it on X, Twitter X, is Dan Schaefer, our friend, mm-hmm. tweeted about the fact that Democrats were trying hard to keep them there to get more stuff done. And then our friend Lee Snodgrass chimed in and said, absolutely. Democrats wanted to get work done. Republicans wanted to leave. So as of today, that big building that we pay taxes on to be cleaned is going to be sitting empty. There's going to be no one working in there, probably except for
janitors,
assistants, and maybe some interns answering phone calls. But yeah, Tony, they're gone. So
it's hard to wrap your head around. It really is, Tony, because again, I couldn't believe it when I first realized that either. And they are considered a full-time legislature.
They're going to get a paycheck. They're going to get benefits.
They make $54,000 a year, which granted is not a huge amount of money, but I think there are a whole bunch of people who would be happy to work for $54,000 a year and work for 3 months.
I would. I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Right?
Yeah. And then also, we got a text earlier in the show today, we were talking about the bill that went through Congress that has been passed regarding the banning of TikTok if the company ByteDance does not divest their Chinese investors. And we got a text from Robert in Richland Center, listening to 608, listening on WRC, I should say. Chinese government can control the algorithms as well as collecting data on U.S. citizens. If TikTok divested Chinese government control, it appears to me that Congress would not be voting to ban it. I don't disagree with that. I think my big problem is that if they're going, if their big problem is data, it's not just the Chinese who can get it. It's other people, like the Russians can get it.
Absolutely.
American companies can get it. Is this just going to be one and done, or is this going to open up a rabbit hole in where they're going to be going after any company that has any sort of algorithm, that has any sort of investor they don't like? Or are they going to be leaving American companies who take our data and use it and sell it to various groups, political, commercial, whatever?
That's interesting.
I don't like using this term, but is it absolutely a slippery slope? What's next?
Well, and next it goes on to the Senate, so yeah. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, this is going to be very interesting questions that you brought up, yeah. Greg Buck.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, it's the good and the bad, and you got to be kidding me. I saw this cross my feed yesterday afternoon. New York Times was on Twitter about 4 o'clock. Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has approached former Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers about possibly serving as his running mate in his bid for the White House.
Well, folks, it's been a fun run. I'm going to get out of here now. I think I'm just going to head to the lake and walk into it, because
that's what Pat Kreitlow said.
There's not much left I can do here. And
Kreitlow actually posted that yesterday. I saw that too on Twitter. He said, a few years ago, if I had seen news like this, I would have just closed my laptop and walked into the sea.
Yep.
But this ridiculousness just doesn't end anymore. It's eternal.
For those who don't know, RFK Jr. is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the son of former presidential candidate and attorney general and brother to John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy Sr. Now, you can have your opinions on that family. I'm sure there's a lot of people who do. But the brothers had a pretty solemn goal in what they wanted to do with governing.
Yep.
And I would say, I don't want to make dispersions about dead parents and that kind of stuff, but I do not believe this fits into the legacy of the Kennedy family.
Well, his siblings and his cousins, they're mortified.
Yeah.
He is a vaccine denier, which certainly goes along with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And also in the running, to make it even better, Jesse Ventura, the former governor of Minnesota and pro wrestler.
I mean,
If that doesn't give legitimacy to a presidential campaign, I don't know what can do it.
Two things about Jesse Ventura that I'm okay with. One, wrestling legend, show respect. Two, he's governed at least
for one term.
A state? I mean, it's more than Aaron Rodgers.
That's true, but I think if you ask Minnesotans about Jesse Ventura's tenure as governor of Minnesota, I'd love to talk to some of those former constituents.
They'd
be
like,
very curious.
Woo! That's a Ric Flair reference.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're doing the good, the bad, and you've got to be kidding me. Yesterday, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announcing he is considering former Green Bay Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers, and also former professional wrestler and governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, as his vice presidential running mates. So coming up at 11:20,
yeah,
we're going to put together a potential cabinet. We're going to put together a potential cabinet for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the Aaron Rodgers ticket. Who would be in their cabinet? Who would have the posts of high regard within that administration? I think it would be fascinating. Andrea from Milwaukee is on the line. We only got a couple of minutes left. Andrea, what do you want to say? Thanks for joining us.
I was just wondering why you guys are smearing RFK. He's actually a potentially good candidate.
Are you serious?
Yes, very.
Why then?
I mean, he's got lots of good points of view. I just can't believe everybody's like, oh, anti-vaxxer, this. Just bad publicity. I feel like people aren't doing their research.
I would love to hear some of his policy positions, Andrea. All I've heard about is that he is anti-vax. and pretty proudly. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I thought that was a joke. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, and again, Joe Biden, President Biden, and Donald Trump have now essentially wrapped up their nominations.
Yeah.
So RFK Jr. is there for no other reason but to be a spoiler.
Sure. I mean,
pretty much. Because he's not going to.
I'll tell you what, Andrea. I'll go home tonight and I will look it up and I'll find out some information on RFK Jr.
We'll look more deeply. All right. News is coming up next when we return. The Realtors Home and Garden Show coming to Milwaukee. We'll kick that around. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network. Talk to you, baby.